When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Because every band should sound like unique in this genre. That's how it was back in like the 90s. As opposed to like just ripping off.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool. I think there's like, as far as like the modern death metal bands go, it's like a good time to be into death metal.
Yeah, and it's like this crossover going. Like you get hardcore combined with the grindcore combined with death metal. You have like bands like 200 Stab Wounds that are killing it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
For soul adding something fresh.
You know,
it's fucking badass.
Yeah.
Whenever I need music gear, I always go to Sweetwater.com. If it's mics, headphones, or studio and recording gear, Sweetwater has you covered. Next time you need any music gear, support the podcast by using the link in the description and comment section below. How did the Uber driver not know you're going to the right area?
Dude, he was talking to me about wrestling so much that he just, I think, totally zoned out. And he was talking about the House of Black, which is like, I don't know wrestling like that.
Yeah.
But I know like Brody from like God's Hate does it. And he was just going on and on about it. And I was like not really paying attention. I was actually like listening to him.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty cool. He was kind of like putting me on the game. And then he's like, all right, we're here. And I looked around. And I was like, no, we're not. And then he kind of got the idea. He's like, oh, we're not here. And then we were in Long Beach.
I don't get how that happens. If you fucking type in an address, it says Santa Ana. Aren't you going to Santa Ana?
I swear I typed in Santa Ana. I like triple checked.
Did you fuck up?
I might have fucked up, dude.
Dude, you
I might have fucked this up, but I'm going to redeem it.
Well, even though the time has passed and you had to hold your pee on for an hour, I appreciate you actually being here.
Yeah, for everyone listening, I just held my piss for like an hour and a half.
That sucks.
But it was cool. It was cool because you got a great place and a great bathroom, and I'm good now.
You got clean bathrooms, dude.
Yes.
It's funny, like there's things in life where like, they just get you stoked, like a clean bathroom. The things that you just like, oh man, you know what? It's a clean bathroom. Oh, it's sick.
Yes. Nice. Yes. Especially like on tour. That's like the craziest. That's like the best thing.
Dude, if you have a fucking solid door with a solid lock on it and a nice, and you see that toilet seat, dude, this looks nice.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah.
This is like some insider stuff.
Yeah. Or like at a venue, like a good venue, perfect shower. Like perfect sink, dude. There's towels, everything. You're like, this is better than a hotel room.
See, if you see a towel there and a nice, oh my goodness, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and so before I forget,
yeah.
So you did your last record with Kurt Ballou.
Yeah, definitely.
Correct. Okay. What were you using? Just a guitar tone. What was that?
So, on our first album, The Grand Ascent, we used this guitar amp called this Sparrow Sons. It's from this guy from like Belarus made it for him.
Okay.
And it's like, I don't know what to call it. It's like a Soldano, a Mesa, and—
Soldano.
It's not a Soldano. It's a guy who makes cars, races cars, and built this in his basement, like on some mad scientist shit, you know? Okay. And he built that. And
is this it?
Yes, that's it. That's why I use on stage, actually.
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't really build a lot of them, but he got like super bored over the past few years, I think. The guy's just like always building stuff, and I got him at the right time.
Mm.
And I've never seen that red one. I wish I had that, dude. Mine's blue.
Dude, that.
It's crazy, right?
Just a logo.
Bo-Bo-Pin. Means sparrow, but... Yeah, that's like Kurt's like OG. That's like the really, that one's like the really good one. No shade on like, or not trying to, you know, talk badly about mine, but That amp, and then we use like a Dean Costello audio. It's this guy out of Chicago. Mm-hmm. It is just like the most high gain amp I've ever played.
Really?
And, yeah, yeah. And we did that with like a heavy metal two pedal. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, that's it. On Clean Channel, actually. On Clean Channel. The amp is on Clean Channel.
Interesting. Wait, you used a Boss HM2?
Yes.
Dude, that's the pedal, dude.
That's
really?
The pedal, man. Yeah, that's the secret to
the next
level. That's what I believe. I believe it's the secret to like the next level of like high gain.
We probably just blew up the internet because now all these pedals are going to be worth a lot.
Dude.
All it takes is someone saying something and then they just fucking go.
HM2. But they got this new one.
I have one too.
You do? That's what's up. Which one do you have?
That one. The HM2.
Hell yeah. Well, if you look over there, there's the Wazacraft one. So it's like right in the middle of the screen we're looking at. If you click on that.
What does that mean?
That's like the brand new one they just put out. And it's got like a standard and it's got a custom mode. Mm-hmm. And that's what we used on our new one. I used to use this 80s like Japanese one. Very authentic. Very good. Super buzzsaw. I like this one a bit more because it's still Japanese. It's still like you know, the same quality. Well, it's actually better quality because it was made in 2023 as opposed to like 1984.
Sure.
So it's like sometimes you step on it and it was like, like hit you with the like, you know, like really noisy stuff. So it's way cleaner now. Okay. So it's Wazacraft HM2.
So it's on a clean channel.
On a clean channel.
You know what's funny is that back in the day, like early 2000s, like that was looked down upon. Like if you had your distortion pedal on a clean tone, be like, why don't you use the fucking overdrive channel?
Dude.
You know, now it's coming back around, it sounds like.
Dude, it's crazy because I think people would say that to me. I would be like, okay, I'll throw it on the overdrive channel. And then like I wasn't getting the tone I wanted ever. And then eventually, I don't know what it was through like probably recording at God City with Kurt Ballou. Mm-hmm. Like realizing like, oh wow, I can make my tone sound way crazier with this pedal into a clean channel. And ever since then, yeah, man, I just feel like we're so dialed in.
You sound very dialed in.
Thank you.
That's fucking nuts. It sounds like, yeah, it just sounds like a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
This is a lighthearted comment towards Kurt and Taylor Young. They have like that. They had that sound to their records.
Yes.
But to me, it just sounds like they heard Carcass and Nazem once, and that's just okay. Let's just do that.
It's definitely more than that.
Yeah, it is. But have you heard Nazem?
Oh yeah.
For some reason, whenever I hear a over the top tone, for some reason my ear just goes to that band.
There's certain bands that'll do that. My ear will go to Rotten Sound.
Sound. Okay.
Yeah, if you know that band, they're like a band that uses HM2 and they get overlooked a lot and they're really good. Yeah, they're not like a original, like early, like late 80s, early 90s death metal band, but around like 2010, they were doing it right. They were doing it.
When they came out?
Way crazier than the Nozzle. No, Nozzle is awesome.
Are you talking shit on Nozzle already, dude? Fuck, 10 minutes in?
Yeah.
Hey, Jay, can you get this on the screen?
No, I'm not.
Can you get this on the screen? When did Rotten Sound come out?
Dude, that's such a good question, actually. See, okay, so 93.
They came out 90? No, did they?
Yeah, I know they've been around for a while. I mean, they weren't around at the same time as
I didn't know that.
Nihilist or Entombed, which really started late 80s. But they were probably still listening to that music and doing stuff.
I didn't know that.
And a lot of people like pigeonhole it to Entombed. That's like the one for HM2.
Yeah.
But there's been so many bands doing it so well over the years. And then so many like producers that do it well too.
Shit.
Yeah, dude.
That's probably, you just mind fucked me. That's probably where Nazem got it from. Because Nazem was late 90s.
Yeah.
And I didn't know they came out in 93 and they're from Finland.
Yeah, man.
I don't know either of those things.
As far as like HM2 goes, it started, it's hard to actually say. There was a Canadian band that kind of had that buzzsaw tone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it got notoriety came to it at Sunlight Studio in Sweden, where they did like a lot of Dismember, Entombed, Nirvana 2002, Triblinka, Tiamat, like all those bands. And I think they just did it by accident, and they kind of like just spread throughout like the whole scene back then. Mm-hmm. And dude, I mean, as far as me growing up and starting the band, like you were saying, like I started Feed Me Mouth in 2013. At that time, there was bands like Black Breath, if you've ever heard
Black
of them.
Black Breath, no.
Oh, they're incredible. They're not around right now. Rest in peace, Elijah, their bassist. Absolute goat. But like they did the sound so well on the first two records. And they were a band like that started, I forget, like 2000, like late 2000s, and like we're really killing it in 2010, 2012. Mm-hmm. They have this album, Sentence to Life. It's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And like, so when I started the band, there were like bands like that that were doing it super, super well. Nails is like another one, mm-hmm. you know? So it's kind of one of those things where like everyone has a different approach to like the buzzsaw tone, I think, you yeah. know? It's just like how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about style.
Yeah. Who do you think personally has the best one? You. Just say it.
Fuming Mouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally someone says it. Yeah. Come on.
Fuming Mouth, man.
Is this is it funny that like our minds will go to like your mind goes to not being confident at all? Is this funny like your yeah. mind is like would trick you? Say, no, don't. No, it's not. It's just,
I'll be confident about it because it's all reference. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I would have never gotten to this point if like Entombed didn't push it as far from Left Hand Path, which is like flawless to me, all the way to Wolverine Blues, which is like accessible to everyone. Hmm. So, I mean, Fuming Mouth.
That is what's up. What was the first heavy band you heard that got you into this whole life?
Oh, two bands.
Two. Okay.
Two bands at the same time. In Flames and Children of Bodom.
Mm.
Needle 24/7 by Children of Bodom. And Clayman by In Flames. My friends.
Clayman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The song Clayman.
Yeah.
My friends had it on a World of Warcraft montage when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Or like middle school. I can't remember. And I just put them. Those are the only two songs on my iPod. And I would just listen to them.
You only had two songs on your iPod.
Two songs on my iPod.
That's sick.
Yeah, just those two songs. I listened to them over and over again. I was like, this is awesome.
How old were you?
I was 15, so it was definitely high school. But yeah, I thought like those were like the only two songs in the world. And then I'm
that's
like,
that's funny.
There's like millions of these songs. Yeah, and here I am now.
Oh my goodness. Dude, when you have a song you love or two, you could just put those on repeat, dude.
That's the best vibe ever.
It's like, this is your vibe, this is my vibe. I'm gonna listen to these two songs.
For- yeah, yeah.
Was it like we doing this for like a month, 6 months, a year?
Dude, it was like a long time. I remember somebody. It was a long time.
It's interesting that you're bringing up Bodom because they're more towards like I guess like the lead riffy. But,
yes,
but In Flames is more like rhythm groove, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It makes sense.
That's especially those two songs you said. Mm-hmm. Like Clayman is just like. And you know, Children of Needle 24/7, way faster, way crazier, way more like lead heavy.
Just fucking riffing, dude.
For sure.
Just fucking. We're talking riffs today, dude.
Yeah, let's talk riffs.
Let's talk riffs, dude.
Yeah.
What was so you heard those two songs when you were 15? You basically this is like your life changed.
My life changed. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was changing until I looked at the play count on my iTunes. And it, like, Needle 24/7 was over 100 plays. And I was like, oh, I'm listening to this music a lot. And then, like, yeah, just from there on, I just kept, like, just discovering more and more bands.
Just more and more. So those were, like, that was, like, your gateway, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes I think about the gateway, like, title, and I'm like, I don't know if it's, like, if bands are, some bands get labeled, like, gateway that I don't think deserve to be gateway. Like Children of Bodom is like influenced by like Celtic Frost and like incredible bands.
Sure.
Like, I think some bands just do it so well they get called gateway.
Mm.
When really it's like I don't know. I have friends that the opposite where like a really underground band is their like entry point to this, you know?
Yeah.
But as far as me getting into it, yeah, definitely those two bands.
Okay. Well, sick. Well, Mark, congrats. The record's been out for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
A few weeks. How are you feeling about it?
Dude, I feel wicked good about it, honestly. It's like, so our first record, The Grand Descent, we put out on like Triple B Records. And it was amazing. It's a hardcore, at the time, it was like a small hardcore label from Boston. It was just my friend that put it out. Sam Yarmouth, he just does the label himself, and it's grown into this thing that is like huge. They like they do like Tsunami and stuff like that.
Okay.
And cool. It was awesome. It was amazing. Then Sam was the one to be like, "Have you hit up any like big metal labels? What's up with that?" He said that in the car to me once, like a while ago before we were on Triple B. And we kind of talked about it. Long story short, we ended up on Nuclear Blast. And that has led to like so many reviews and like press and stuff. And like Fuming Mouth has never had that before. And it's so cool to see for the first time.
That's great.
Yeah.
We should discuss this real quick.
Yeah.
Can we talk about our small text exchange? Okay. So
definitely.
Why are you reading the reviews of your record?
Because, well, I put it out there. I make music for other people, not just for myself. You know what I mean? And it's like I was just saying, this is my first time. Like Triple B, it was one of those things where it was underground. Okay. It was never, no one reviewed it. Except for, I think, like Anthony Fantano for like 30 seconds in like a huge month-long thing. I'm serious. So I was like, it just was something that was never in my mind, something I never like seen before. And I was just like, holy shit, all these people are like reviewing this album. And now it's like, it's super cool. And luckily I had, you know, a friend who was like, you know what, don't give a fuck about it and have fun with it. So that's what I've been doing now. I'm just having fun.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's gasoline for your soul, man.
Yeah, dude.
It's it, dude.
At first, yes, that's like how I see it now, and it's fucking awesome.
Are you a competitive guy?
Yeah, definitely. Especially like in the past few years, I've definitely become way more competitive for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
I guess why it was a little bit shocking to me because especially with, I mean, like just a plate of life that you had to deal with that was fed to you. To go from that and then now you're reading like reviews. I'm like, man, Mark's kind of seems like the kind of person to me, like after all that, he would just be like, fuck everything. I'm not reading shit.
No,
so
man.
I was very surprised.
I was really vulnerable with this record, I think. There's moments on it. There's melodic moments where I was like, I could die tomorrow. I don't care. I'm just going to record exactly how I feel in this moment. And like, I didn't think about that going out into the public. I forgot that people are like vicious as fuck.
You forget sometimes.
Yeah. And it's crazy like that. I don't give a fuck. Don't ever get
you
that
shouldn't.
Mixed up, you know?
But there
are times where I like read a review or something and somebody like shits on our song, like the riff. We're talking about riffs, right? RIP, Rest in Piss, which is like literally derivative of Supposed to Rot by Entombed. So it's like if you're shitting on that riff, you're shitting on Entombed, which is one of my favorite bands. And now I'm like mad because it's like, what the fuck? Entombed is great. And like, maybe you hate Entombed and that's why you're like thinking of it like that. So it's one of those things where I see that and I'm like, you can come for my clean singing. I get that. You can come for like this. But when it comes to riffs, dude, I don't know, all the way back to Black Sabbath, I feel like sometimes I feel like metal is like this big like mansion or house or like the canon of metal and everyone adds to it in their own special way. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. So since you brought up the clean singing, do you feel like what... Like what happened? Did you get any kind of like backlash from that and kind of pushback?
In the studio, no. Everyone was like really supportive of that, which was really cool. My friend Charlie at Bend really helped me like with singing. And I always knew my influences had clean singing in it, whether it was like a band like Edge of Sanity, like with Dan Swano. So, and he used an HM2 pedal as well. So it was like, it wasn't weird to me. And we definitely get backlash on it. But at the same time, I've been doing clean singing with Fuming Mouth since 2019. Okay. Since really 2018, and we've been doing it longer than that. So it's like,
yeah.
If you didn't know that, then that means you're just not a fan of the band, and I don't want you around anyways.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are going to come and go anyway, so might as well just fucking play what you want to play.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And it's connecting, like, super well on a whole different level. You can tell, like, the Silence Beyond Life is our biggest song at shows right now.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's like the reaction like from like people? I mean, because you're in the fucking room. You're not looking at your fucking phone or reading some. Like you are literally playing it, and you see the reaction. What's that like?
It's crazy, man. It's like we toured with the Black Dahlia Murder, and every night we'd have like a couple people singing along. Mm. But now it's turning into like more and more, and yeah, it's been really really cool. Like even last night there was. Three people in the front singing like so loud to the Silence Beyond Life. And I was just like, what the hell? Cause I didn't really expect it like that. I just wanted to make a good song. Mm-hmm. I know that's not that many people. That doesn't sound crazy, but, it was still like, oh wow, this is hitting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. It's good to hear because I first saw, your band on that tour. Just cause I went to see like the Black Dahlia Murder. It's literally down the street. House of Blues is like 5 miles away from here. So I was at the House of Blues. I kind of creeped in, watched a few songs. Oh shit, they're fucking heavy as shit.
I didn't know you were there that night.
Yeah, I was kind of creeped in.
Dude, that show was amazing.
It was. Dude.
That was one of my favorite shows.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Why?
I sang with the Black Dahlia Murder that night.
Oh shit, it's dope.
Like Brian had me come on. He just said it. He was like, Mark from Fuming Mouth, come over here. Boom. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing this. And it's a song like Death Mass Divine. It's wicked good. I've loved it since like I was a kid. And yeah.
That's awesome.
It was really, really cool.
It's pretty cool seeing like all their fans support Brian. It's cool.
I know, man. They need it. They need like the energy behind them, you know, to keep the name alive, to keep it going, dude. Absolutely. It is really cool.
It was great to see him. Like, damn, it's fucking packed. I think it was sold out.
Oh, definitely.
And people drinking and moshing. I'm like, damn, they're fucking doing it, man. Cool light show. It sounded great. I'm like, damn, okay.
Yeah, man.
Sick. I was actually very, honestly, I was very surprised.
That's good.
Brian sounding good. Okay, they're on that journey.
Oh yeah, and it's just, like he's just plotting and scheming. I mean, Ryan and like Ryan Knight is like being back in the band and then having like the extra guitar leads and extra solos. And he was in Arsis. Arsis was a great band as well. Mm-hmm. Arsis was a crazy band.
They're crazy.
And
they're
like
nuts, dude.
Yeah, man. I just feel like it's like just being built up even stronger.
Mm-hmm. It just kind of hit me now. Like that tour package was a very emotionally heavy package with like you obviously with what you've been through, and I think that was their first tour back without Trevor.
Yeah,
fucking,
that was their first
so sad
first
dude.
Tour back after Trevor passed away, and that was my first tour back after I had leukemia. So it was just like
that was your first tour.
That was my first tour back. Yeah, and it was like a big heavy duty one. So it was like, if I can do this, I can do anything kind of thing. But yeah, it was serious. It was definitely like a lot of weight to lift, but it's nights like that, like Anaheim show, that were totally worth it, where it was like so much fun.
I was curious, like, how did you find out that you had cancer?
Dude, I just felt sick. I felt like I had the flu, and except instead of getting better, it just felt worse and worse every day. I was like, what is going on? Went into the hospital one day. They took my blood. And like they took my blood work, and I had like no white blood cells. And they're like, you got to go into the hospital, like inpatient right now, so we can figure it out. And then next thing you know, sorry, you have cancer. That's exactly how it went.
What was that news like?
Dude, I mean, it was like my whole world fell apart. It was fucking horrible. But, you know, like, but immediately it just turned into like fight or flight kind of mentality, and it went all the way, no fence walking, all the way into fight. And it was like, let's just beat this thing. And that's what we did.
Man, you're a strong, mentally stable guy. That's fucking pretty intense.
Hey man, I mean, not, we all got our vices. We all got our problems. I mean, thank you.
Yeah,
but yeah.
That's fucking heavy, dude. Because obviously when you get sick as men, we kind of have this thing programmed deep into our DNA. We're like, oh, no, I'm not going to get checked out. I'm not going to go to hospital. I'm not going to go to ER. You know, but you actually.
Oh, no. It was my girl who was like pushing me to do it. Her mom. Yeah. No, this was not a one man operation. It was like, Mark, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I was like on the couch. I'm like, I'm going to feel better. And then, I did not.
Was she already your fiance at the time?
Definitely.
Okay, so that's, yeah.
Oh, no. She was not. Sorry. Okay. No, that was just my girl. She was my girlfriend at the time, and I proposed to her in August.
Okay, so it's recent.
It's recent. Shit. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm out here trying to live, Garza.
You're trying to live in Ubers, dude. It's sick, dude.
Yeah. I guess I'm going to live in the Uber. If the guy, shout out to my Uber driver. He was cool.
He wants to fucking ruin this podcast.
Nah, but he was trying to put me on Game to Wrestling. Okay. Let's give him a,
What's
a history lesson, and you know.
It's good.
Yeah, it is.
It sucks.
Yeah.
But you lived it. Like, so you got this news and you had to get checked into the hospital, but COVID has already happened.
COVID is happening. So it was like around Omicron and I couldn't have like visitors.
You couldn't have visitors.
Nah.
Fuck.
But shout out to my nurses and everyone that would get my parents in or my girl in. So it was like, we would make it work. And then like Sonny from Hey 5-6, they set up a benefit show for me when I was in the hospital at one point. It's not online. It's just a live stream. I got to watch like all my friends' bands play from like, dude, from the hospital room.
What?
Yeah. It was awesome.
I never met that guy, but I keep seeing his videos, and obviously his character speaks, you know.
Sonny?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. He's the man.
Fuck. What? So you were watching a live stream show.
He set up a live stream of a benefit show with all bands I had played in. Vane, Buried Dreams, this band Misery from around here. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
Oh, Misery is so good. With a Z. And my friend's band High Command and this other band Fleshwater. I think they play one of the nights. And he set up like a live stream so I could just like watch it from my hospital bed.
Dude, that's...
And then they all like talked into the camera for me. Yeah. It was cool.
That's some heavy shit, dude.
Yeah.
You know? Did you ever think like am I going to die? Like, did that thought ever creep in?
Yeah, of course, but it's hard to say it. I don't want to say that because I digress to the fight or flight thing where it just turned into full fight. And like, I was not like, there was a time I was like praying to God. I was like, come on, God, I don't want to die. Come on. And then it was like, it really hit me. It was like, oh, I have to take this into my own hands. Like do all the things the doctors say and like get through all, like take the proper pills, take the medicine, do chemotherapy, do all that stuff. And like, really be careful about like my health, make sure I don't like get a virus, eat the right things that they're telling me to do. Mm-hmm. So it became really like mind over matter where it was like, I can't think about dying right now or else I will die. Does that make sense?
Interesting.
Yeah. It was like, I got to think about, I have to take these 20 pills today, you know, at these certain times. And like, that's like what, yeah, dude, straight up survival.
Oh my goodness, dude. Because during those moments, I mean, if you're not in there, I mean, you can only imagine. Because I think about that stuff. What would I think about? You know, what would, if I got that news, where would my mind go? But you just seems like you went straight to just fighting. And that's.
Yeah.
And you didn't
play like video games. Yeah.
What did you play?
I played Pokemon. I played a couple Pokemons and Elden Ring. I just crushed through those, dumped hours into it. And then just like, and I play guitar too. Those are like those two things, you know, just like lots of distractions from like all of those kind of thoughts. And then just like making sure I got my shit done. Hmm. And then, just getting to the other side.
I was wondering is he, did you think about any riffs in there?
Oh, all the time, dude.
Damn. Dude. I can only imagine, dude.
I wonder, I don't have my phone on me. There was one I wrote in the hospital bed for Kill the Disease. And I was just so tired. I just took out my phone. I went, dun dun, dun 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 dun, dun 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 dun.
Do you still have it?
I think so.
Fuck.
You want me to try and grab it?
Yeah, dude.
Quick? Hold on.
So, yeah, grab it. I'll start talking. Which I do the same thing too. Like if you have a idea, you'll take out your phone. You start dun 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 dun, and then you have the voice memo, and it's saved. It's saved forever. But you gotta get your idea out. You know? How are we looking? Oh. First of all, Dank, this is a very vulnerable thing. So I really appreciate you actually sharing this.
I haven't listened to this since we like recorded the demo of it and we were like, this riff is crazy.
Okay.
March 30th, 2022. The first demo. We should have done that with a double kick. There it is. That's like the whole song. Dude. I was like, I condensed into 30 seconds. I'm like, okay, breakdown. There's got to be a fast part. Oh, I should say Kill the Disease. It was like, yeah, dude.
Dude, that is beyond fucking sick.
I can't believe I still have that on my phone.
You gotta save that.
You just like unearthed it. I was like, it's definitely still on my phone. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did that make a song?
Yeah, yeah. Kill the Disease.
That song, Kill the Disease.
Yeah, yeah. It's track, it's on the B-side, Last Day of Sun. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
We've been playing it live. That's the one where it's like, oh, this is the fun one. There's no guitar solos. It's just tremolo picking and then just like,
wow,
I hate using this word, but like beat down, you know, it's just like too much. And doom. There is one doomy ass riff that's like kind of like a bolt thrower meets autopsy meets incantation, which is kind of crazy.
Do you remember where that certain section is in the song? Because we're going to try to play 5 seconds of it.
40 seconds in? Yeah, like that. Oh, yeah.
Wow, it made it.
It did.
Holy fuck, dude, that's...
I actually can't believe it made it. It was definitely one of the last... Because the album, we like... I wrote most of it, and we recorded a lot of it. Not like on some like pre-pro stuff, but we did that before I got sick. So this is like one of the only ones where it was like after I got sick that made it to the album, you know?
Hmm.
Damn. Obviously, I mean, Kill the Disease, you know what I'm saying?
Dude, that is what's up.
Yeah.
You should have fucking kept the fucking pattern.
I know. I just heard that back. And I was like, why did we not do that?
Oh, shit. It's funny. Again, our minds would just fuck it up.
I know. Do you have that? Do you notice that with Suicide Silence?
Oh, yeah.
Like you'll look back and be like, I can't believe we took that. You try and make something simpler, and then you're like, that part wasn't even complex, you know?
Because not all the time, obviously, but most of the time, that initial spark is what's the best idea.
Yeah, and then
sometimes you want to tweak it. Sometimes it needs to be tweaked, but most, that 90% of the time, dude, that spark is just, don't fucking touch it.
I know.
And I learned this from, shout out to Ross Robinson. He taught me, like, when you either play a riff or write one, or you're hanging out with your band, you're showing, or you're at the studio, et cetera. And when you're either laughing or you play it, and then you all happen to have like a conversation after, because you're open.
Your
heart is like, you don't think about it, but your heart's open. So you're all talking after the riff or the part.
Yeah,
it's like, stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No matter what your brain thinks is going to be better, don't fucking touch it. And that has stuck with me for years. It's like a nice little. So, shout out to Ross.
Yeah. That's cool. That's going to stick with me now.
Boom.
Because I'm already thinking about that, but then I don't want to say I second guess things, but that second guess is where you fuck that up, you know?
It is.
So it's like, yeah, I'm in that mode.
Man.
We have another one that was like, it's an interlude on the album called Disgusterlude, and there's no HM2. Yeah. It's the opposite. It's the opposite on purpose. It's just a Big Muff, like, cranked all the way up.
That's what it sounded like, a Big Muff.
Yeah. And that was the same thing, voice memo. Kurt Ballou took it. He was just like, airdrop me that. And I airdropped it, and he put the voice memo in, and then we just put, like the one I had where it was like, and he put it into it, so it was coming out of the console, and we just put the drums, guitars, and bass over the voice memo.
Dude, that's sick.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Kurt Ballou right there. He'll find a moment and just bullseye it as fast as he can.
That whole process sounded like it was fun.
Dude, it was so much fun.
He really solidified your sound.
Yeah.
You know, it's dope.
Yeah, he's been doing records like Fumi Mouth for so long. So for him seeing it, it's nothing new. It's like regular for him. And I think like solidify the sound is like the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So from your, this is a two-part question.
Yeah.
So just so you know, I'm going to ask one question. I'm going to answer a counter when you explain that.
Yeah.
So what was the writing process like for the first record? Because this is obviously pre-cancer.
Yeah. I mean, the first one was like jamming in practice space kind of vibe. You know what I mean? And then eventually it was like, it kind of just ended up just being me in the band. This was around like 2016. And I learned how to like figure out how to do like MIDI drums, like on a computer.
Sick.
And then from there, it was like kind of that practice space thing into just like fleshing out like demos of full songs, doing like terrible mixes, having my friends help me mix it so it can like make sense to someone.
Yep.
And, you know, that was it. It was fractured as hell. It was like, this is all I got for the demo. And then my friend Kale, he plays in like a ton of bands, Twitching Tongues. He plays in... he played in that band Misery I was talking about. The list goes on. Like, I'd known him for so long. He came out and he was like, I asked him if he wanted to play on the album. And he was down. And me and him would just like chill every night. He was like living at my apartment for like 3 weeks, like a month. And then we just went to God City and just like smashed it out.
Hmm.
So based off of that, I mean, took all those ideas, and for this album, it was like I got really good at like the MIDI and the computer thing and like all of that. So it was way, I got better at like pre-pro. So then that kind of came into this album, which was nice.
Okay.
Or the other one, they were like, there wasn't pre-pro. I say fractured as in like, I was like, sure. I have a really good fleshed out idea for this song. And then this one, we just jammed at the space. So we got to like make it work.
Mm.
Yeah.
So there's that process. And then where you almost died, that that little part of your life, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's weird. And then, how did the process change? Like, because now you have a whole other perspective that Mark, that most of us, 99.9, don't really know that mind, you know, because we all have that fear of dying, or maybe like having cancer, or you name it, but you actually lived it. You actually had the thought. So it was, how did your mindset change?
I mean, as far as that, it was, you know, it was kind of talking about like the Ross Robinson thing. It kind of came more so like naturally like that, where I will say like I, on the first album, The Grand Ascent, I was so particular. I was like, things have to be a certain way. Mm. They have to be a certain way. And then you realize like you kind of got to, what's a quote from Mike Tyson? Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
And then that's where everything changed. We got punched in the face, you know? And it was like, oh wow. So it was like kind of the planning for it went aside. It's like, it's just going to be what it is. And we're just going to like work as hard as we can, you know?
So you learn to like let go of things that maybe don't matter.
Roll with the punches. That's what I think I learned, you know?
Hmm.
Roll with the unexpected. Like, there's just going to be unexpected stuff that sucks, like in recording and in life. So it's just like one of those things where you just gotta keep up.
Hmm.
That's kind of how I looked at it. Yeah. That's how it changed for me.
Hmm. Like, were you more vulnerable with like the risk? Were you feeling different when you were playing or writing it? Like, what was...
Oh, dude. I mean, I lost the ability to play guitar for like a month from my bone marrow transplant.
Dude, what was that like?
Oh, that was scarier than getting diagnosed with cancer. Because if you get cancer, like, we live in a good day and age of medicine where, like, there's a lot of ways to overcome that. But, like, I don't know. Any guitarist would know the fear of that. Like, I see, like, the Saw movies. And if the guy was like, you have to cut off your fingers if you want to live, I would be like, okay, I'll die, you know? And so when that happened, I picked up a guitar and I literally couldn't press my fingers onto the fretboard. Yeah, I freaked out. I freaked the fuck out. That was a freak out moment. And but then I just kept picking it up every day, playing a little bit more. And then once I like was able to leave the hospital, I went to this like apartment that like you're supposed to stay out after getting a transplant. And I riffed Pain Into Power by Terror.
Sick.
Like hard, because it was just like it had just come out and the riffs are like super hard and just like built my strength back. And then, I just like played. Then I got into guitar solos. It was like step by step, you know what I mean? Instead of baby steps, it was like giant steps. It was like, okay, what's like these riffs are really hard to play and fast and they have to be power chords, not single notes, you know? And then, I just got it back. That was like, that has been challenging, like physically with playing again, but like every day, every show we play, I get better.
So it's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
Still right now.
I'm pretty good right now, but yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty good right now.
Good, man.
You
know, it's good.
Once you get it on the scale of bad to good, it's like, nah, I'm pretty good. I'm really happy. But I could definitely like, there's still times I like miss notes and stuff like that where I'm like,
we all do, it's fine.
Right. That's why I'm like, I'm just fine. I'm gonna chill about it.
How long did that take for you to get when you felt like from you can't play this day one? Yeah. From like, okay, I could really start playing now. How long was that?
3 to 4 months.
3 to 4 months.
Definitely. Of playing, like, starting out, like, an hour a day to, like, I would throw on One Piece, the anime, and just play for however long. Or, like, Stranger Things or some stupid thing on the TV. Anything. And just, like, not pay attention and just kind of turn the brain off and just play. And once I hit that mode, it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to play for 1 hour a day, like, rigid. Then I was able to like really be myself again with playing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Dude, we forget how powerful it is just to fucking lay back and watch a movie or like a show. And it's just like this like brainless fucking riff.
Yes. Yes.
I always forget about that.
Yeah. Or you'll write a riff to like a movie.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a song, Respect and Blasphemy. And I wrote a lot of those riffs. Oh, not to Train to Busan. There's like a horror movie that came out after that. I don't even know the name of it because it's like what you just throw it on. I was just like watching like a crazy zombie movie.
Yeah.
And I was just playing like crazy zombie riffs.
Zombie riffs. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Do fucking zombie riffs, zombie slams.
Yeah.
Zombie blast. Like you go on and on.
Yeah. That one is straight up just until the like very end. So no zombie blast in that one, but you know, they're there if you know you're feeling it.
Yeah. Dude, this record is such like, if you were to look back, like, I mean, this record just came out this month. Kind of like, it sounds like the process started like in 2018 where we saw 30 Days a Night.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like, that's what, because the record is like first starts off as fiction.
Yeah,
for you, now it's like real life.
Yeah, dude.
That's fucking crazy how long that process was, how you had like the name of the record for that long.
I know.
And it's kind of let it sit through like all these different stages of your life.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it was like, I wanted it to come out so much sooner, but you know, so many things got in the way and it just grew into the, you know, the album it is now.
That's a 4.5-5 year process?
Something like that. I mean, we put out an EP called Beyond the Tomb between it. And like, I'm really proud of those songs too. That's like, it's hard because EPs like get slept on a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it wasn't just this like huge gap where we were waiting. It was like always riffing, always coming up with stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed even from your start from like 2013, it's just like you have these chew through your gaps.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, what is he doing? Is he just reading like Gene Wolfe books all day? And it's like, not.
Dude, I wish. No, it was, I really started Fuming Mouth just like not as a serious endeavor. A lot of people start bands like, we're going to hit the road. We're going to become big, have these aspirations. There was like a couple venues in Massachusetts, Rad Skate Park, this place called Anchors Up, this place called Democracy Center. And I really just wanted to put out a good demo and play those venues. That was like really it. That's kind of what everyone at the time wanted to do. There was no, the aspiration was just to make good songs. And it kind of was like that in hardcore. So like at that time, it's very different now. But over those years, you know, it wasn't until like 2015, 2016, where I was like, oh, I really want to do this like seriously, you know? And then that's when like, so there are these like gaps in time with it because it like wasn't the number one thing. And then eventually like people liked it. I wanted to push it harder, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Interesting. You talk about Gene Wolfe.
Yeah, man.
So what he had books that you enjoyed. What was like the, like how did he inspire your band and riffs?
Dude, specifically like the storyline for Last Day of Sun was like, I was just trying. I'm like, no one comes up with an idea out of nowhere, and I'd seen it on like 30 Days a Night. Just like the title, it just said like, not the title, but like just this like one like text card that said Last Day of Sun. I was like, there's gotta be like something out there that's deals with this idea.
Yeah.
And his book, Shadow of the Torturer.
That is such a sick title for a book.
Isn't that like the most metal shit alive?
It's a metal fucking.
Yeah. And his work and this idea that like, cause in my mind I was like, okay, the sun's just gonna blow out, you know? And then I was like, I started reading his work, and that's the first of his four book series. You know, there's other ones like Claw of the Constellator and stuff. And like, that was when it was like this idea of the sun getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And then I just started applying a lot of like those ideas and how like people kind of like live in that. Cause originally I was like, this is going to be an album where everyone goes like crazy and just like kills each other. Cause they hear it's the like last day of sun. And you always hear people be like, if I have one day to live, I'd go to the beach. And it's like, you probably wouldn't. You'd probably freak the fuck out and like scream and like, I don't know, lose your mind. And I read that book, and that's when I realized, I was like, oh no, like society goes on. People keep like trying to live, keep pushing it, prolonging it, like get put in more destitute like situations. And reading like a book like that is definitely, all those themes like started to just kind of pour into the album.
Interesting. Like this is a, so this is a fiction book, correct?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'd say I'd go as far as say fantasy.
Nice. There's, but the
it's like cooler than Lord of the Rings. Nice. This should be a movie. This should 100% be a movie. But it's one of those things that came out in like the 80s. He had just passed away like recently. Rest in peace. But
really,
yeah. Gene Wolfe did.
Fuck.
And he has like a tons of fantasy and fiction books. And yeah, man.
Do authors just like write books their whole life, dude?
I know.
It's crazy.
It's wicked crazy.
Like, I was just fucking looking up R.L. Stein. He writes all like the Goosebumps. He's still putting out Goosebumps.
Is he really?
He's still fucking doing it. Crazy.
Bands aren't like that as much. Bands will stop. Bands will have like a huge period where they stop. I don't know what it is with authors where they're just like,
they just keep
I'm doing this into the grave until I'm like,
that's it, dude.
88.
And no matter how much success they get, they just keep writing until they fucking die.
Yeah, because like it's Goosebumps nuts. Is like every dun 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 dun. That's like what everyone knows Goosebumps for, like the show. So it's cool.
Yeah, type in let's see, how many books has R.L. Stein written? I'm curious. Stephen King, a great author as well.
He's at least 77.
77 books. Imagine writing 77 records.
Stop, dude. Oh, my God.
How many riffs is that? How many shitty voice memos is that?
I know, right?
How
many of the same riffs are you going to write by accident and be like, oh, my God, I just copied my own riff?
Well, it happens a lot.
It does. It happens a lot when it's only like a handful of records, let alone 77, dude.
And you know how many shitty riffs you got to write to keep the one.
Yes.
What, like 50?
I don't even know, man.
20, 50, 100? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
100 just if you look only you forget how many voice memos you have, and until you get to look at it, you're just like, you're just doing this.
Yeah.
You're just fucking scrolling. Yeah. It's like, oh, that, if you do one a day or two a day, that shit adds up, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And 99% of them suck.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. All that matters is that one or two.
That one, yeah.
How many? I really want to confirm how many books he fucking has, dude. R.L. Stein has written over 200 books.
Oh my God.
200, dude.
That's insane. Yeah, he, Fuck 77. That's cool. He's still going hard.
That is fuck. Well, shout out to R.L. Stein, man.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Goosebumps.
Goosebumps. Those were the books in, elementary, junior high.
Yeah, definitely.
Just the cover alone. You look at it, but oh, I got to buy this.
Yeah. Slappy the Doll or the Mannequin. The
Mannequin, yeah.
Yeah. That guy freaked me out.
I used to do, you can't even call them book reports. Remember that? You would do book reports.
Oh, yeah.
I would read the back, read two pages in the middle, and try to put some kind of page.
Yeah.
And now it's funny because like you look back and like all the teachers knew.
Oh yeah.
You did not read it.
Yeah.
They all knew. I remember when you're a kid, you're just trying to like, you're not going to fool the teacher, man.
No.
He or she knows.
Yeah.
This fucking kid did not read his book.
No, you just phoned it in.
and they would ask you questions, and you're like, sit there in silence.
Yeah,
like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. I would try and read them. My mom was like strict. I'll give it up to my mom. I really would try and read them, but I ended up in that position where I was like, yeah.
How old were you when you first read a book front to back?
I don't know, man. Like I can't remember the first one. Lord of the Rings was the first ambitious book I ever read when I was in like fifth grade.
Fuck.
Yeah, the first one. It was incredibly hard, and every word I was like, what am I? I don't even know what I'm reading. And I was like, but this is too cool, and the movie's coming out. I gotta read the book.
How many pages is that book? Because
I don't remember.
It's a very large book.
Yeah. It was super hard. I remember it taking me like way too long and people being like, you're still reading that book? And I was.
Yeah, type in how many pages? What's 2 fucking pounds?
That's like, there's no way I read that much.
Dude, 1,216 pages?
I don't know. That's not. Dude. I remember. See, that's more. Yeah.
Okay.
It was,
three.
I read The Hobbit. The Hobbit was the first book.
The Hobbit.
I read The Hobbit. And I was like, that was awesome. I'll read Lord of the Rings. And the Lord of the Rings was way harder to read. That's how it went down. Yeah.
Three. Okay, so The Hobbit is 320.
Yeah, for sure.
But those are like, so you have different size books.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
You have like these books going to be like these. I guess you say depends. Tall and wide books.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
So that it's like not. Okay, so this says so paperback is 432. That's a little bit more accurate. Which is to me that's a long book. When I get a book in my hand and I see more than 150 pages. I'm not stoked.
Okay.
But you read them.
It depends. If I'm really in the mode for it, then I will dive in super hard. The last book I remember reading was Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy. Every touring musician should read that book.
What is it?
Blood Meridian.
Blood Meridian. Okay.
Yeah. I really mean that because it really is like, it's about like, people venturing out west into the United States. It's extremely graphic book, but it feels like tour where people fall off. They don't want to do it anymore. You got to keep going.
Totally.
And like it's hand in hand. If anyone out there ever wants to tour with a band, is touring with a band, like you'll relate to it for sure. And it's a badass book. It's really good.
Hey Jay, go up, Jay. What's that picture? Is that guy getting his head cut off, right?
Yeah. That really sums up like the book for sure.
Oh shit!
It's like scalping for scalping. Yeah. It's nuts. It's like warfare out there. Yeah. And you see the guy below him? He's got the axe to his head. You know what I mean?
Dude. Okay. This looks and sounds intense.
Yeah.
When does book come out?
1980. I don't know exactly when. 1984?
It sounds like you always
1985.
I was born that year. It sounds like you've always been a reader.
Yeah, I think so.
Explains a lot.
Yeah.
Explains a lot with your thought process.
I guess. I mean, my mom was really just the one to be like, keep reading. And yeah.
I think that might have
my favorite book by Cormac McCarthy though is The Road.
The Road.
That came out in 2006. That's like, yeah, that's amazing. It's a great father-son story.
The Road sounds like a torn book.
Yeah. There's a good movie on it too. Yeah.
The movie?
Yeah.
The Road?
Yeah, that's a movie.
Is it based off that book?
It's based off the book. Read the book though.
Okay.
That one, the top left. Super, that's it. That's it. That's all you need. Okay. That's my favorite book. Easily.
You know a book I always wanted to read? It's on my bucket list. Forrest Gump.
Damn, I've never read...
I've always wanted to read it.
Right? Because it's one of those things where it's like basically before our time, but the movie's in our time. So it's like, we've seen the movie.
One of my favorite movies. Probably top five for sure.
That's sick.
Top five for sure, dude.
Yeah. Even you just saying that is like, oh my God. I bet the book is incredible. Mm-hmm.
You know? And you have these, I'll say it, these assholes that read like a fuck. They'll like, shout out to Alex, our previous drummer. He'll like read like, not even read, he'll hear about it and try to like, people will talk about the book. I say, shut the fuck up. I want to read it.
Yeah.
They'll try to talk about it. Like, did you fucking read it? No, shut the fuck up.
Shut up. Yeah.
I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah. That's why when we were looking up Blood Meridian, I'm like, yeah, that picture sums it up. I'm not going to say anything about it. You can just see it, you know?
What's your favorite movie?
I don't know.
That cover looks
It really depends on like the genre and everything. Favorite movie. I love Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger is like probably one of the coolest movies of all time.
That's sick.
That was like, that shit is insane. If you're into death metal, like you kind of got to love this movie. As far as like, this isn't my favorite movie though. It's hard with movies. I don't know. I like Halloween as far as like horror movies go, like the original one, John Carpenter. I think that's like
sick.
This movie, the original one, and Rob Zombie's is cool too, but is such the product of like not care, like urgency, like really making a movie quickly, low budget. Even him making the score to this movie, putting it into 5/4, the theme song. Yeah, that's crazy. Like it makes it like get stuck in your head. It's noticeable.
Yeah.
And it's like uneasy, you know, because everyone listens to 4/4 or 3/4. So it's like it being in 5/4, I feel like adds so much to it. And like for a horror movie, for that like uneasiness. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's hard to say if it's my favorite movie. There's like a subjective take and an objective take on it. But like, I feel like as far as film goes, I got to give it up to this.
Do you imagine?
To John Carpenter. Yeah. A lot of his movies.
Imagine writing that. So, hey, I have this idea for a fucking song.
Yeah,
Five, four. I'm always fascinated like how they write like movies, like a song sometimes. Like, man, like you wrote that. Holy fuck.
If I'm right, he did that like super fast. Like he only had a couple days left to submit it and he went, oh no, I didn't do the score. Because he had like filmed the whole thing and was just like took out the synth and keyboard and was like, fuck. And like just like hammered it out like that. That's what I mean by urgency.
But sometimes that urgency will just help you.
Right?
It's so weird.
Yeah.
What do you think now, with your perspective, what do you think riffs come from?
I don't know. Other riffs?
Okay.
I'm serious. I just think you keep like hearing riffs and then like kind of just gets funneled down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like even we were talking about this the other day. We got a song called Out of the Shadows that like I had heard while playing like Castlevania. I was like, oh, why isn't this a riff? And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of took that, put some ideas into it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And turned it into like a circle pit riff.
Okay, there's a pre-question to the question.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously you're in a hospital.
Yeah, for sure.
Alone.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what you're getting? Nurses are helping you sneak in.
Yeah. And there were times. Family. There were times they could come in too. It was okay. Such like an ebb and flow thing where they're like, "COVID's over," and then they were like, "No one can come in. Like, there's an outbreak."
Fuck.
Yeah. So it was like that. Almost made it worse because it was like, "Am I going to see people today or not? Like, what's going on?"
And what was? I mean, this is an odd question, but what was the vibe like? Because I know when you're talking cancer, are you around other patients that are dying? Or
definitely.
Okay, so especially at the time, like you were just saying, like there's people allowed, not allowed. So and there's you and no is they're not allowed to have a priest in there, correct?
No, they have like I was saying this in a different interview. They have oh my god, why can't I think of the name of it? They have a they have somebody come around that's like spiritual and is studied on like all different types of religions. So it wouldn't be a priest. So they can kind of speak to everybody about like their religion or like their belief system. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
she was mad cool.
Because when you think about it, there's so many different types of religions. There's so many kinds. So
that's exactly what I mean. And it's like disease doesn't discriminate against anybody. So it's like, not to mention religion. So it's like they have to have somebody like that there. That's like...
we're all dying.
Yeah. For real.
You know? Yeah, what did that like... did that change? Like, what did you start to believe in when you were in there?
I mean, I was like, I wasn't believing in anything really. I was praying. I had said it. I'll say what... I stopped believing in... everything, not because I'm like, I don't believe in anything, life's pointless, out of a way of like, I can't just be sitting here praying to nothing right now, or else I'm like, gonna die. You know what I mean? Like, no one, if there is a God, he's not coming to save me right now, but this medicine is going to save me, and if I do all these things. So it's like, I had to put, like, even if I wanted to believe in it, I had to put religion to the side, you know, and just like focus on what was there in the present, which was my health. And people who are like educated and smart in, you know, in all different types of not just disease, but like infections, anything like that could have got me sick or like fucked up.
Yeah. I was curious because obviously we're not talking about like, it's because religion and God are actually very separate.
Yeah.
You know, there's because funny, someone will ask, I kind of know where the conversation is going. They first asked, the first question that they asked me, are you religious? And I say no.
Yeah,
and then okay, so you don't believe in God, but I never even answered that because this was your first question. Now I know where you're coming from. It's not worth to go back and forth.
You
asked me about spiritual. You asked me, do I believe in God?
Those
are very different questions
for sure.
So I was very curious, like, you know, where your mind and
I believe in everything.
Okay,
I do. I believe that like. Humans are just too stupid to even have like a concept of anything like that. You know what I mean?
We are such stupid fucking beings, dude.
After going through what I went through, it's like nothing will make you feel smaller than that and realize like, wow, there's 8 billion of us here and I'm just one of them. So I like better listen to everybody and everyone, you know, there's something valid to everyone's belief.
Totally.
And that's how I look at it now.
Do you think there's like a, there's like a empowering and freedom to accept like, hey, I ain't shit.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
But a lot of people won't agree because they want, like, they're trying to hold on to like this. I'm special. I'm fucking special.
Yeah.
To me, what helps me is like, I'm a piece of shit. I'm nothing with this on this planet. And to me, for me, that gave me like a freedom.
That's kind of the theme of the album is like, we all exist together and we all like work together.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And it's like we rely on each other, you know, like in the face of peril, in the face of last day of sun, if you will. You know what I mean? It's like you got to work together to like really get anywhere. And like,
So even after that, you still believe that riffs come from other riffs?
I think riffs come from other riffs. Yeah. And just like I think it's important to know that and to like have like a reference like, whether it was like us being influenced by like a master riff like a Paul Speckman kind of style thing, mm-hmm. or Entombed or Carnage or, mm-hmm. you know, anything like that on this new album. God Macabre, Macabre End, like anything like that. I think having like a reference riff is good, but then eventually if you listen to like a shit ton of music like the two of us do, like you're just going to spit something out into your voice memos. Totally. And there's like, yeah. so there's like a conscious side and a subconscious side when it comes to riffs.
Sure.
But when it comes down to it, I think it all comes down to what we've listened to over the years. Whether it's Children of Bodom when I'm like getting into this, or like the one and only Maimed demo from Illinois that I listened to.
Yeah. You know? That's like so sick.
The deepest thing, or something that is like, you know, really big and like everyone knows it, everyone sees it.
Mm-hmm. Dude, you got me into some bands like straight up. I mean, I never heard Master.
Oh, yeah.
And dude. Today was my first time sitting down.
Yes, dude.
I'm going to play Master because I heard you talking about it. I'm like, oh, shit. They came out in 1990. It was like obviously a very legendary band.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And I was like, oh, this is fucking crazy. I listened to Carnage for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
We're playing Carnage on the Bows here. I was like, shit, this is... Because obviously, yeah. Shout out to Michael Amott.
You know, I was just about to say.
It's like, that's a riff fucking goat, dude.
I know. I would love to... I feel like if I brought... I would love to meet that dude. Because it's like... Carnage to Carcass to Arch Enemy is like the craziest trajectory. Because Carnage, Dark Recollections alone is like the grimiest death metal. Mm-hmm. And then like Arch Enemy is so refined now.
Yeah.
And like the solos, the riffing, the vocals, totally. It's just like, dude, the evolution is crazy.
It's nuts. What do you think are like the, because especially when we're talking like death metal, there's like a, you have so many modern bands.
Yeah.
Know, a lot are bringing something new to the table. You know, what are like some like modern death metal bands or grindcore bands that you're jamming?
There's so many. I'd say like right now, I've been listening. I'm not going to lie. Right now on this tour, I've been listening to a lot of old school stuff. Incantation, Mortal Throne of Nazarene. That album is so fucking good. It's heavier than Autopsy. That's the one I've been listening to. Everyone should go listen to that because sometimes I sit there and listen and I'm like, how is something this heavy? And that's the one.
I don't think I even jammed this record.
This record is like crazy. And the first album is great too. This album is like where they really stand out and shine and like really come into like who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend this record. That's what I've been listening to off the top of my head. You know, there's so many bands out there, bands we've toured with and played with, whether it's like Vomit Forth or Frozen Soul. You know, there's so many death metal bands around right now. Like, everyone is kind of breaking off into their own territory. I've been talking about this, and I didn't like know how to feel about it, but now I'm so confident about it because every band should sound like unique in this genre. That's how it was back in like the 90s. Yeah. As opposed to like just ripping off.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it's really cool. I think there's like, as far as like the modern death metal bands go, it's like a good time to be into death metal.
Yeah, and it's like this crossover going. Like you have hardcore combined with the grindcore combined with death metal. You have like bands like 200 Stab Wounds that are killing it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
For the soul adding something fresh. You know, it's fucking badass.
Yeah.
That's actually why I went to that show and saw you guys. I want to see, because you keep hearing about a band.
Yes.
So you got to see them. You got to listen to them.
Yes.
You know, that's actually why I was there. I forgot, dude. There's so many shows, dude. They're all just kind of like...
It's nuts.
Becoming one big show in like my like memory.
Another great band right now is Cruelty from Japan. If you listen to them.
No.
Oh, you got to check them out. It's awesome. With a K.
You know I love that.
Yeah. we didn't get to play with them, but we like toured on like we played Vancouver the night before they played Vancouver.
Mm.
And then like we crashed at their Airbnb and we hung out with them and stuff. And yeah, that's a killer band. There's so many right now. If you just go down the rabbit hole, you'll find them all.
Dude, totally. And the one of the best ways to find new bands or music is when you let a record just play.
Yes.
Especially when I'm about to do a podcast, I'll listen to like the record and the jam or something, just let it go.
Yeah.
Jammed your new record, and then the record's over, and then it's another band comes on. Yeah. I was like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was Year of the Knife.
Oh my God. So that band.
That was sick. It was, I was like, what is this? Holy shit.
That was your first time hearing them?
Yeah, first time ever.
Okay, so they've like, they've been through like a ton of different like iterations of the sound, and like they used to be more like hardcore leaning, but they would have these parts that were like bolt thrower with like hard double kick. And this new album is so, so heavy. It's just like so leaning into death metal.
Yeah.
That like, yeah, it's amazing. I did some guest, I didn't do guest vocals, but I did some gang vocals on that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
With a bunch of other friends. It was awesome.
Oh, I think I saw your name in the credits.
Really?
I think, yeah.
No shit.
Because you,
shout out, You're the Knife. You guys are killer.
No, because if you jam the
you guys first, and girl are killer.
When you jam those first two songs, there's more names in the title.
No, I'm not in one of those. That's like, I forget who is on those. No, it's all good. I'm positive I'm not, because it was like such a last minute thing where we just did gang vocals and at God City with like Kurt Ballou. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a total hangout. It was awesome.
Dude, sick.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm glad they had me there. And like, even if it was just for like a small little thing, and just hearing the record in the studio, I was like, there's no way they sound like this now. Because they kind of had an HM2 thing going before, kind of like us.
Yeah.
And then this one is just straight bulldozer,
sick,
dump truck riffs.
Dump truck riffs.
Yeah. Just imagine like,
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Dumping it. So, yeah. My goodness. I've been listening to that record. That's a band I've been listening to.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah. And so you're going to the UK for the first time, right? Next year.
Yep. Years in the making.
And it was today. I also jammed, I could barely see this name, Celestial Sanctuary.
Yeah. They're awesome.
I was like, it sounds very modern death metal. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how else to explain it.
No, that's fine.
It was just like, it's just sounded like the, I guess the production value was like, okay, this is heavy.
Yes.
But it was very like, this is death metal. It's cool. It was dope.
Yeah, man. They're great. I'm like really excited to go over there and headline. We've wanted to go to the UK for a while. And my mom and my aunt are from like Glasgow in Scotland. So,
really?
Yeah. So I got a ton of family over there. So it's like, I can't wait to go to the UK. I'm going to hopefully see some family. I don't know if I will. And then I'm definitely going to rip some shows. We're definitely going to do it. So it's going to be awesome.
Is this the flyer?
Yeah, that's the flyer.
Yeah,
man.
Dude. January. It's coming up, dude.
Yeah. It's next down the pipeline. I can't wait.
Dude, go to London. You're going to London, dude.
I know. What was it like the first time you went to London?
I'm going to piss off some people right now. The food sucks.
What?
Dude, British food's fucking terrible.
Oh, man.
It's terrible. Oh, but there's some things, there's some good things to it. Like, their chips.
Yeah.
I'm
excited for tea time.
Tea time? Well, yeah. The tea is good.
Yeah, dude.
But now it's different. It's more like Americanized. You have like Chipotle there now. And yeah, it's kind of English breakfast. I'm trying to get into it, dude. Oh, fuck. Yeah, they have the baked beans kind of style, like the tomato, the ham.
Yeah.
I can't. But you're probably going to try all this and probably love it. Don't fucking listen to me, dude. You're fucking going to go there, have a great time.
Yeah, all right, cool.
And eat a lot of shitty chips, dude. It's going to be sick.
I'm down.
A lot of fried stuff.
Oh, I'm so down. Yeah.
Just fucking just walk around, dude.
Yeah, I will. I'm excited to just like, I went to Scotland, I went to Glasgow, I went to Edinburgh when I was like 18. And just like listen to music the whole time while walking around. So it's like, I am excited to go back and like, well, just see everything, you know, whether it's just sightseeing. I'm honestly just excited for the shows. I think the shows are going to be fucking awesome.
You got to have this fucking fish pie thing for sure, dude.
Nah.
He looks.
Nah, dude.
Wait, 18 British foods you should try other than fish and chips.
Oh, there was this one thing. I wouldn't have it. Blood pudding.
That just sounds like you're eating out a girl that's on her period.
Yeah, it's like it was like a can of just like dark. I don't know what it was. I have no idea what it was. I forget what it was.
Blood.
That's exactly what I mean. It just looks. Yeah, like what do you even call that?
Is that a sausage?
No, it is not. I forget what's in it. But guess what? I'm gonna eat it.
You're gonna
I'm coming back with a vengeance. I'm having blood pudding.
That's going straight to your muscles, dude.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I need. That's going to make my wrists harder.
Oh, my goodness, dude. Yeah, dude. That thing looks pretty gross.
That's fucking gross.
But,
I'm going to eat it because the last time I was too scared. I was a little boy. I was like, oh, no way. I don't know.
But now you're older. Yeah. More of a life perspective.
I think back on it. I was like, I should try new things. Why did I not just try it? But I'm not going to eat that fish head pie. No way.
No?
Nah.
But what have the gods told you that the rip gods came down? If you eat this shitty fish pie, your wrist will be heavier.
I'm going to be like, I guess I'm going to have some light riffs. Fuck that.
Yeah, it did look fucking terrible. Well, Mark, I really appreciate you making this drive down. I know you got a show tonight. You're going to San Diego.
Yeah.
Today. Holy shit, man.
We haven't played there since 2019, man. I can't wait. I love San Diego.
Damn, dude. Any closing thoughts, man?
Fuck anyone that tells you can't do anything. Try really hard. Don't give up. Don't quit. Go wicked try hard until you get exhausted, and then you don't give a fuck. And then all the things you're like working for will happen.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Everyone, last day of Sun, out now, came out 2 weeks ago. Fuck you, and that's it. All right,
fuck you and thank you.
Where can people find you?
If you fuck with us, thank you. If you don't fuck with us, thank you.
So where can people find you?
FumingMouth.com, and then Fuming Mouth on IG, Fuming Mouth on Twitter, Fuming Mouth on Google. Google.com, Fuming Mouth.
So you don't have a personal IG, correct?
Hell no.
It's smart. You don't need it.
I like the idea of my one friend did it with his band, and then I like the idea of not mystique, but just having it go to the band. Don't worry about me. I got me. I got my fiance. I'm good.
That's a cool way to approach it. I never really heard that before. Where it's like, yeah, I'm on there, but I'm not on my personal one. You can see me on the band.
You still hit me
IG.
Up in text. Like I hit you up before this. I was like, yo, what's good? I have to ask you something. It's not like I'm some recluse or something that. But
sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Who knew? Right. You can send a text and a call. Right. It's weird.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
Wow. Weird. Yeah. Well, Mark, I appreciate the fuck out of you. Again, thank you for making a drive.
Yeah.
And have a good show tonight.
Garza, thank you, bro.
Fuck yeah, man. All right, everyone. That's it. Later.